When we look in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, there's a lot of folks who really like that passage, right, Aaron? I know he loves this passage. When you put it in context about who he was talking to and about, we can see that they really needed this message. Most of the time when a prophet would come, in Old Testament times especially, they didn't normally carry good news. Matter of fact, prophets were most hated people because they didn't come with good news from God. Now, it wasn't the prophet's fault. It certainly wasn't God's fault, because there was a reason why there was bad news, because they were acting right. And so, you know, Isaiah typically had some very hard prophecies concerning the nation of Israel, especially. It was during a time when Jerusalem was fighting to survive. Has Jerusalem become a very wicked place? They had turned from God into the idols of the heathens. They were actually doing baby sacrifices in the valley of Hinnom. It got that bad. And God said, "Enough's enough." He says, I'm going to tear Jerusalem apart, and I'm going to scatter you, and there'll just be a remnant left. Now, I want you to imagine that if I came up here and professed to speak for God, that God had given me a voice, and I was told that, Zach, I got a prophecy for you from God that your family would be scattered, you would lose your home, and you would be homeless. Now, what? That would not be a pleasant thing, would it, though? I wish that I could turn around and say that God's going to bless you with all this money and all these things of the world, and you're going to be extremely happy. But I can't promise that either. But Isaiah could, and Isaiah did. He said there would be a remnant remain. There would be some horrible things that happened in between. And I want you to think about that. And you know, it's a little different. Not everything that I say comes true. I was wishing for that snow yesterday. Didn't get it. But you know, I wish, and I said it. I predict. No, it didn't. But you know what? So not everything that I say comes true. But when Isaiah said, "Thus saith the Lord," it almost always, it did come true. And so they heard from Isaiah what would happen, and they were down, and they were discouraged in their lives, wondering what's going to happen to me. Have you ever been that way? When you've been down? When you've been discouraged? When you think that everything around you is falling apart? When you don't know what to, literally do not know what tomorrow will bring? Well, let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins." Yes. God will say, now it's time to speak some comfort. When the trials and the problems and worries of life catch up with us, sometimes we can become exasperated. or we just kind of, you put like this. For those who have hair, want to pull your hair out. That's exasperating. You just can't figure out what your next move in life is, because it seems like everything is crumbling away. Our breathing increases. Our heartbeats rise until we are so emotional that we just can't catch our breath. What am I going to do? Have you ever been to that point in your life when you just said, "What am I going to do?" And then the Lord says, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye." He is in effect saying this: slow down. Catch your breath. take a deep breath and tell me what's wrong. He calls the Jews his people. And he's telling them that even though Israel and Judah will be destroyed and taken into captivity, and that God's judgment will be on them will be sincere, and the times will be extremely hard on them, and only a few will remain faithful to him, he says, do not worry. Take a deep breath, and everything will be okay. I hate those moments in life when I get so caught up in the issues, problems. And it feels like there's nowhere to go and nowhere to turn. And it seems like there's no hope. For a brief moment, you feel like that you're choking and you're going to die. The breath has left you. And God says, comfort ye. Let's talk about this. He says, God will take care of you. And sometimes we worry over the future, don't we? I think we all do that. And that's not a wrong thing to do. But we have a God who knows and is in control of the future, don't we? We just sang about it. We were singing praises about how magnificent and glorious He is and how He loves us and all of those things that we speak. We have a God who knows and is in control of the future, our future. So take a deep breath. It's in His hands. That's where trust comes in. That's where faith comes in. The remnant that would remain in captivity and would undoubtedly be tired, weary, confused. Everything that they'd known in their whole life was gone. They were confused about the fate of their nation and all the promises that God had given them. And many years would go by and they would remain faithful to Him even though it seemed easy just to forget God. Just fall in with the gods of their captors. And they would have nothing but heartache and grief for their efforts. It would not be easy. Sometimes doing the right thing can get tiring. You ever feel that way? Sometimes doing the right things can make you tired. Because you keep doing the right things and you're not seeing anything for it. And so, a lot of folks just say forget it and they go ahead and live a whole different life than what God had planned for them because they're tired of doing the right things. Now, Terry, I know we've seen that on Thursday nights, haven't we? They just got tired of doing the right things because life all of a sudden got tough. Problems hit them. And they said, I can't do this no more. And so they stopped doing the right things. Working for the Lord can seem unproductive. And our labor sometimes can seem like it's in vain. Does it ever feel like that to you when you're... Look, from this vantage point here, sometimes it feels like it's in vain. That no one's hearing. God's not working. And then just in life. Life can be so burdensome as we go through it. And say, well, why does it have to be this hard? Why do we have to have all these problems and trials in our life? Have you ever said to the Lord, Lord, I am so tired, I just don't know if I could go on. Have you ever said that? Have you ever looked at a situation and found that it was hopeless? And that you were about to give up? I'm going to suggest to you that most of you in here did not give up because you're here. But boy, it was a struggle, wasn't it, when you reached those times in your life? But you know, the Lord says, take a deep breath and listen to me. He told the Jews, it's almost over, and when your war shall end and the effects of your sin will be no more because the judgment is just about over. It'll get much better. You won't always have to go through trials in your life. One day, it'll be over, and a new day will begin. And He says, trust me. Trust me. So if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the future should never look bleak. Now, we're going to get trapped every once in a while into that, I can't believe that. I mean, we should never be able to get to a point where it feels so hopeless. Because we know that it's not. That we're not the one in control. Trust Him with your problems. Trust Him with your issues in life. Believe about His promise about what's around the corner. And sometimes you have to go through these periods of your life in order to get to the place that He wants you to be. There were some trials and tribulations in my life that I would not be standing before you if I had not went through them. And they're not pleasant. God will prepare me through the trials. Say, Brother Rainey, I'm going through a bunch of stuff right now. They're hard. Guess what? The harder they are, the brighter it is at the end of it. Of what God's got planned for you. You don't stop in the middle of the storm. You just keep moving through the storm to the other side to see what God has in store for you in your life. And so we skip a little bit of the chapter, and we go to verse 21 through 30. 21 through 30. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spread them out like a tent to dwell in. It is He who sits above the circle of the earth.
There we go.
He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth when He will also blow on them. And they will wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away like stubble. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding is, but those who wait on the Lord. No, not that one. God asked the question, had you not known? Had you not heard? Had you not heard? Why do we doubt God? So, well, I don't doubt God. He's created the universe and He's all that. Yeah, you do. Because I do. I doubt Him all the time. When I get to those points in my life where I say, I don't know how I'm going to do this, blah, 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 I'm doubting God. I'm not placing my faith in Him that He's going to solve it or work out. I am doubting His salvation, His eternal life that He's given me. Because if I really, truly understood what it was going to be like when I die from leave this earth and with Him, if I understood, I wouldn't worry about all these things of this life as much. Do we understand just who He really is? Did you not hear me? We're like grasshoppers to Him. And He covers the entire, and we're nothing in comparison to Him. He can literally do anything. He's made us promises, and we know He's not a liar. That's who He is. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Speaker into the existence of the universe. So why do we insist on just trying to shoulder everything on our own shoulders? Just so that we will inevitably fail and fail and fail. See, that's the doubting of your God. Joy, would you hit the next button, please? And I'll show you the point here. I didn't explain it to you. The doubting of your God. Do you think that He can't handle it when you do that? Do you think that it's something that you can't handle, that He can't handle? That this is my... I think a lot of times is we just don't want Him to handle it because we're trying to handle it ourselves. Can we doubt Him in anything? The Look what Isaiah says about God. He measures the oceans by the cupping of his hand. That's how he measures the ocean. He measures the dust in a cup and puts the mountains in scales. He sits on the earth and we are like grasshoppers to him. Now I want you to look up at the sky at night. And I want you to see just a partial view of his glory. He created all that. He's in charge of all that. He knows everyone's name. Everyone's name. He knows all the stars' name. And yet our future seemed bleak for him to change. Our sins too much for him to wash away. And our burdens only we can carry. Try to do this on our own. Shouldn't have to. God has promised. We need to trust Him with it. And you know what? One of the things even retires. We kid a lot. We kid when we have prayer requests, and sometimes it goes on a little long because we got a lot of people and things to pray about. You know what? And we always say, you know what? God's a big God. He can handle it all. And He can. It's the truth. There's nothing that He can't handle. He'll take, at this Sunday morning, there are billions of prayers going up to Him right now. Literally. Some may not be reaching the ceiling yet, but a lot, many of them are. And they're coming to, and you know what? He takes care of it. He knows. You say, well, how can that be? I don't know. That's because I'm the grasshopper and He's the God. Who He is. Have you not known? Have you not heard? God is the Lord of all creation and over you too, and He never gets tired. He doesn't say, well, I am so sick of hearing that prayer request. He doesn't do that. There are some folks that we've been praying for their salvation for a long time here. And they're mentioned almost every Sunday. And guess what? He never gets weary of hearing that. Never. Even though that person or persons haven't yet committed their life to Christ, guess what? He's faithful. And He keeps on working to answer that prayer. Yeah, we get tired. I get tired. So what's the answer? It's easy to say. It's easy to say. Give it to God, isn't it? How do you do that? We're going to find out in verse 31. In verse 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we wait on the Savior, wait. Can you imagine that you were digging in a gold mine and you dug for years and years and years, and people kept saying, it's there, that gold is there, and you got a little tough, and you said, and all of a sudden, you're saying, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm not seeing any results, and so I am going to quit. I'm going to stop my digging. And so you pack up your stuff and you leave. And then someone else comes along there and they dig up one more foot and get that gold thing. How many times have we given up and quit right before God has said, don't stop, it's right around the corner. The blessings that God, that I have for you, the results that you've been working for, it's just around the corner. It's going to be some tough digging, but it's there. And we stop and we quit. And never receive the blessings on the other side of the storm. That's what it's talking about, waiting. Sometimes our problems and issues in life, we say, well, I can't wait no more, I'm going to take care of it myself. Well, that doesn't work out too well sometimes, does it? Most of the time, we make it worse. Instead, we give it to God, and we say, Lord, and now, if there's anything that I can do to help this, present it to me. If not, I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to wait. I'm going to trust you. And what about this evil? Aaron, what about this evil? What does it mean, mounting on wings, on the wing of eagle? What does that mean? What a ride that would be, wouldn't it? Get a picture of this. The picture is this eagle. What they do is, when they come upon a storm, ever wonder what birds do in storms? You know, are they out howling? Not the eagle. What the eagle does is the eagle sees the storm coming, and the eagle spreads its wings. And as the storm comes and all that wind hits, he allows that wind to underneath him and to just lift him up and continue to rise and rise and rise through the storm, not working at all. He's not doing a thing. It's all the storm that's doing it. And he just keeps going higher and higher and higher until he goes above the storm. And there he just floats and soars and sails. The storm is underneath him. He didn't do a thing. It was a storm that lifted him up and out of the storm into clear skies. What does that mean to us? We need to ride. Mount ourselves on the wings of God through the storms of life and let the storms lift us up above it. Yeah, it was probably a bumpy ride for a while, but he was heading up. He got above it and was able to look down on the storm and say, I'm above this now because God has lifted me above it. But you got to wait. Can you imagine? Can you imagine going about halfway? About halfway up, you're on the wings of the eagle and you're about halfway through the storm and you say, I don't know. I'm going up and I'm scared. I'm going to turn around and go back. You never make it there. And that's when we're weak. But God will take us to places that we can never, ever go on our own. That we can never see. Become the people that we can never become on our own. When we're weak, we mount up on the wings of eagles. And so as we walk in this life, it says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We're spending way too much time today, way too much time in our lives, trying to run on our own. Trying to walk in this life on our own power. When God says, here, let me help you. Let me push you. Let me take you to where you need to be. And we say, no, I can handle it myself. And we strive and we fight and we push. And all of a sudden, the next thing we know, we're exasperated. We can't deal with it anymore. And we're about to give up. And God says, come. It's going to be fine. Are you today in that position where everything seems you're about ready to give up on whatever it is in life that's troubling and trying? Are you about ready to give up? Do you think that you've done all you can do? Let me the first true statement you made. You've done all that you can do. Mount up on the wings of Christ, on God. Let Him take you through the storms of this life. Let Him make you something that He wants you to be instead of you trying to become what you want. Listen, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never be able to mount on your wings. You don't know Him. You can't know Him. He can't comfort you because there's no comfort to be had. I have a comfort that I've had for a long time in my life, some 44 years. of comfort. When I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I asked Him into my heart and my life, and He changed me. I haven't always spent those times in comfort. But there have been times when God has come to me and said, just catch your breath, Randy, it'll be fine. Calm down, let's talk about it. Let me show you the glimpse. What's just around the corner. There have been times that I've wanted to give up. Times when I want to throw my hands up and say, I'm tired of this, no more. God says, hold on a second. It's not about you. It's about those people, those persons that are in your life, those people that need to see me through you. It's all that it's all about. It's not a matter of you being tired. It's not a matter of you showing results. It's a matter of you doing what I ask. And you trust in me for the results. So as we, as children of God, continue to minister, let us not give up. Let us know that there's hope. And that the trials that we go through, these trials are something that we understand that God has for us to make stronger, to make us less weak, to strengthen our lives, to give us hope, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I will tell you that your life, the troubles and trials in your life are really unimportant. Did I say that? Yes. Really, it is. Because ultimately, if without Christ in your life, the only hope that you have is death and the grave. Not to mention the hereafter for you. I mean, that's it. So what difference does all these problems make? It all ends in the same place. But for a child of God, it's different. We go through the problems and the trials and the situations of life, and we have a hope because we have a risen Savior who's defeated them. And we are told that when He comes, He will take us and we will live forever and forever. This morning, let me ask you the question. The question is this. Why? Why don't we know? Why don't we believe? Why don't we trust? Why don't we mount up on wings of eagles and soar and get above the storms and have and be what God wants us to be? You have hope. It's my prayer that you'll trust in Him today. So as we stand and we sing this invitation song, I do not know what's on your heart. I don't know what's on your mind, your life. I do know one thing, and that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of this stuff that I've talked about really matters. There's only one thing that matters, and that's coming to know Him. Asking Him into your heart and your life. And I'm not going to pretend that I know your heart in any way, so it could be anyone in here, but if you have never asked Him, never had that change, and you don't have that hope in your life, then it's really simple. The Spirit of God's probably dealing with your heart right now. So you need to, all you got to do is respond to Him and say, yes, Lord, I follow you. I believe you. Child of God, we should be the happiest people on earth because we know what's ahead for us. So the question is, what's ahead for you? What is your hope in? Is it in this life or the next? And when we come across tribulations and trials, let's put it in perspective and remember the promises of God. What was one of the promises? I will never leave you.